Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adask, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Today's Wednesday, May 24th, 2017. Good afternoon, Al.
Hello, Melody.
Wendy Wilson will be joining us here in just a few moments. We have a pretty good day for gold today. We have gold 630 to the upside. 630 for gold to the upside at 1258. Silver's up 12 cents today at 1728. Platinum was up $3 at 952. Palladium wasn't so happy today, down 10. Not a good day for palladium. Down 600. Palladium down 10 at 767. Thank you very much. USDX today was down 0.23 at 97.14, and crude oil was also down 19 at 51.28. And the paper markets today, I guess they liked the Fed's signal that most likely there will be a rate hike in June. So we'll just have to follow that along. But the market turned around, was up 74 points, 21,012. I told you, holiday week and Memorial Day, all markets are going to be high, and you know, so everybody can enjoy their little picnics and talk about all how great their paper investments are doing. They've been doing it for a long time this way. NASDAQ was up 24 points at 61.63. The S&P was up 6, 24.04. 10-year yield, 2.27%, down 0.02. Euro, 1.12, up the same as the dollar being down. And European markets, again, basically unchanged. Very little movement in the foreign markets. 1-800-375-4188. Give us a call for all your gold and silver coin needs. Folks, we have Wendy Wilson joining us from Apothecary Herbs. Good afternoon, Wendy.
Oh, good afternoon, Melody, and hello, Al.
Oh, Wendy.
I thought we'd talk about what goes into the synthetic vitamins everybody's taking. I thought that, I don't know, do you have a guess what would be in, what, you know, comprises the synthetic vitamins? Anybody want to guess?
It's probably a waste product from some industrial facility.
Okay. Melody, want to weigh in?
Oil is in everything, so I would imagine some oil.
Right. Yep, they do have petro bases into them. You know, well, store shelves are full of the synthetic vitamins, and most of them are made from pharmaceutical companies and also the giant private label manufacturers. Any manufacturer who really wants to jump into the supplement and manufacturing business can do that instantly by using the FDA-approved supplement monographs. And a monograph is basically just a recipe book. So if you're going to use the ingredients in their monographs for certain supplements, then you don't need to seek approval. So by using these guidelines that the FDA has set out to make supplements, you can make your own brand or you can private label for other business companies. So we're going to look at what the artificial supplements are made from. And a lot of the chemicals you find in your supplements are also in your breakfast cereals as a fortification. Okay, let's look at, we're going to go to New Jersey first because Channel 4 does a show called Food Unwrapped, and their crew went to New Jersey to visit one of the nation's largest manufacturers of supplements called IVC Industries. So they reported that, you know, the capsules of vitamins that were there, all made from synthetic petrochemical ingredients, no big surprise. But these chemicals that attempt to mimic the original sources of nutrients, what surprised them was what actually, how those chemical nutrients came to be made. So the news crews said large amounts of the vitamin supplements have to be made. These are massive batches. And there's this process in order to make large amounts, they take, to make the synthetic ingredients, they actually use a fermentation process. And how exactly is that accomplished? So they, according to the news crew, interviewed Nick Bennett. He's the head of the IVC Industries product development team. And he says, well, what we do is we take glucose syrup and we mix it with various bacteria. And Mr. Bennett says, this is how we get the various vitamin B supplements. And we pick out the type of fermented bacteria we want. And most of the 13 vitamins supposed to be in the average multivitamin are essentially bacterial waste products. You were right, Al.
Yeah, it was I thought it would be industrial waste. I didn't think it would be the waste product from little animals, but I guess
yeah. Well, now start. Bennett says Americans have the worst diet. It's deficient, and he was boasting our company will never be out of business because people need the supplements to fill in the gaps. But it's really not nutrition they're selling. So studies suggest that 2/3 of adults, 65% of adult Americans, take vitamin supplements, and a majority are buying the private labeled garbage made from these petrobacterias. Ugh. All right, let's look. We're going to ask the people of the UK. Financial experts there are saying people of the UK are into the supplement market. $1 billion industry there. They spent $1.5 billion last year, the consumers there. And they actually buy into the synthetic vitamins as well. Actually, over there, they'll spend more money annually on synthetic vitamins than they do on painkillers. Now, in the United States, we're spending $17 billion a year on these types of supplements. So health experts, though, are beginning to see that a majority of the supplements are of little value, and consumers are often deceived about the quality of the supplement. So Dr. Joseph McCullough has reported on this. He says synthetic manufacturers of the supplements are now claiming their fake nutrients are really whole foods. So most people, if you put a plate of full of glucose and bacteria in front of you, would you eat that? I don't think so.
No, I'd use it for flypaper.
Well, you know, but you put that in a chewy gummy full of dye and flavoring, and people are none the wiser, right?
That's probably true.
Mm-hmm. So what are really whole foods? Well, whole foods are unrefined. So an example would be white flour compared to whole grains. Refined foods have the nutrition processed out of them because nutrients have a limited shelf life. So to extend shelf life, they get rid of a lot of the nutrition. So likewise, most vitamin supplements are considered highly refined and really have no whole food nutrition in them. And studies are showing that these refined foods create metabolic imbalance, and if it's not corrected, can offer a pathway to disease. And most of the supplements in your retail stores are isolated chemicals marketed as nutrients. And nutrition really is very complex. It's a complex chemistry. It's not these isolated chemicals that you see in these pill bottles. But they say it resembles vitamin C, for example. Let's take ascorbic acid. They say it represents, you know, what you get in your oranges, lemons, and limes. But the problem is not all the chemistry is there, and it reacts differently in the body. And the problem is science is incapable of creating life. You know, they try to mimic it, but they don't really create it. Now, here's a quote from Carlton Nutrition about this. They say, most do not know that legally a vitamin can be marketed as a natural whole food product as long as it contains only 10% natural plant-derived ingredients. The other 90% are synthetically made lab chemicals. End of quote. So your nutraceuticals, he says, is also an example of that. A lot of people think the nutraceuticals are 100% organic, but they're not.
10%.
10%.
I am shocked.
Well,
I am really. I mean, I'm really disappointed. You know, I take vitamins. I'm not obsessive about it exactly, but I'm taking them for years. But I never supposed that 90% of the vitamins I was taking could be.
Right. Well, I checked with Judith DeCava. She's a naturalist, a nutritionalist, and by trade. And I said, you know, what happens when we ingest these synthetic vitamin supplements? And she said, well, a lot of research is reporting the human body treats these agents differently than when we eat food. So the body essentially reacts to these petrochemical synthetic drugs as a drug because that's what they are. They're made from petrochemical synthetics like drugs are. So if you wondered why, she said that when you take a synthetic vitamin and it turns your urine this bright fluorescent yellow, it's because the vitamins are not nutrients. And these supplements produce what she says are foreign substances inside the body called xenobiotics. And when you use whole food-based supplements, the body reacts to them in a different way, like if you ate actually food. So with nature, you get a balanced, complex chemistry of nutrition, but with synthetic vitamins, you get isolated foreign substances, which I thought was pretty good picture to paint there.
Is this part of the reason why they recommend, at least in some instances, that you take vitamins with your meals?
Does that somehow compensate
for the isolation factor in the conventional vitamins? You take it with a meal. There's other nutrients in the meal that might work with the vitamins.
I think the food offers a bit of a buffer, because a lot of these petrochemicals can be harsh and people can have irritation, upset stomachs. I mean, the same thing can happen with certain antibiotics. You're supposed to take it with food, for instance, you know. So, and then I hear from people all the time, Al and Melody, about, you know, I bought this bottle of supplement and I felt really great on it. So I went and got another bottle, but it quit working.
Yeah.
So, and it's those pesky isolated lab chemicals again. They're made from glucose and things, and they don't have that complex chemistry that you get in your vitamins, your minerals, your peptides, your amino acids you get in whole food. And so when you have isolated elements, it doesn't work the same. So what happens is your body notices those missing pieces, and it will take from your nutritional stores to fit what's missing so it can uptake and absorb that petrochemical you just gave it. And so eventually you exhaust your nutritional stores taking that product, and then when your body doesn't have anything else to fit in, then that's when it quits working for you. So essentially, you are taking something to fortify your system, but what you're doing is you're depleting your resources there. So you're not fortifying at all.
Like I say,
yeah.
Shocking.
Well, according
to... On one level, I'm not surprised, but still it's shocking.
I know. Well, according to Judith DeCava, she says separating the group of compounds from a vitamin complex, actually, she says, converts it from a physiological biochemical active micronutrient into a disabled chemical of little or no value to your living cells. So now let's just talk real quickly about the new supplement facts you see on the, you know, because the FDA changed the labels a while back. The new nutrient labels on vitamins are confusing consumers a bit, because they read the supplement facts panel and it says, hey, look, my folate, it says right here, it comes from broccoli. All right, I'm getting something good, you know. But the sleight of hand in the supplement industry is that they isolate the folate in order to standardize the nutrient. They use the USP sources. In other words, that's the U.S. Pharmacopoeia guidelines, because they want to standardize everything. And this is the Food Harmonization Code, or the Codex Code. That's where this is coming from. And so they have this isolated folate now without the complex chemistry that you find in broccoli. So people look at these supplement facts and they think they're getting a really good thing, but what they're getting is a smidgen of plant nutrient, and it's not in its full state. So there you go.
If you wanted to make, first off, are legitimate vitamin pills even possible? And what I mean by that, if we were trying to take the vitamins we need that were not derived from petrochemicals or little lab animals or whatever, but they were actually pulled out of plants.
Right? Concentrates, you mean? Concentrates?
Nah, concentrates, whatever. Are they actually even possible, or would they deteriorate so rapidly that they couldn't be marketed? You could make your own, but you'd have a difficult time marketing them.
Yeah, the shelf life's an issue, and that's why tinctures are pretty much your best way of doing that, because when you take your plant sources and you age them in a catalyst of alcohol, the alcohol does two things. It draws the nutrition, all the complexity of the nutrition out of the fiber part of the plant and encapsulates it in the liquid. And then your alcohol is the perfect preservative, so that your nutrition now has a long shelf life of 10 years. So that's why the tinctures are going to be superior in that regard. Plus, you can make them as concentrated as you'd like. and you can adjust doses real easy. Whereas if you've got capsules and tablets, there's just so much of the plant source that you can fit in a capsule. And then if you have a tablet, you have to have fillers so that the thing holds together and doesn't fall apart.
Well, it's all pretty amazing, pretty disturbing. What happens? What do you do with your products?
Well, the refined issue we mentioned, everything that gets really over refined, you lose all the nutrition. Yeah. So the less you do, the better the product end product is. Because when you heat herbs, whether it's steak, chicken, you cook broccoli. When you heat things, you change them chemically. Okay, so we have to cook, meats, of course, because we want to kill anything that's in there that we shouldn't be ingesting. But we do change them chemically. So herbs, for instance, aren't any different. Heat does change them. So if we avoid a heat source to them while we age them, in other words, we cold press them, we're preserving all the alkaloids and the enzymes and all that chemistry that helps it work properly in the body. So heat, they're very much heat and light sensitive. That's why, when you see a lot of supplements, they'll be in dark jars.
Yeah.
And that's the reason is because they're sensitive to heat and light. Just like your produce, when it gets picked off the vine and then it's under those lights in the store, they start to lose a lot of their nutrition, especially under those lights.
I bought some tomatoes 20 years ago, at least, maybe 30. Mm-hmm. New tomatoes looked like little Christmas ornaments. And I misplaced them. I set them in a cabinet instead of setting them in the refrigerator. And I found them a couple of weeks later, and they were as good as they were the day I got them.
Yeah, that's genetically modified then.
Yeah, I know. If it won't rot, it won't digest.
It's not the same. They're trying to recreate God's creation, and they just can't perfect what God made. I'm sorry. Now, Dr. Mercola says, if you just have a healthy lifestyle, you get that regular exercise, detox to stay ahead of the game, relax, don't stress out, and have a healthy spiritual life, you can avoid a lot of problems. I agree with that, but I would add, give more than you receive. Talk to God every day. Immune boost as needed. And if you're using supplements, for heaven's sakes, get truly whole food ones. Huh.
And where could they get some of those whole food supplements?
Absolutely. God's herbs are good, and he can't lie. He says they're here for the service of the nations and for the healing of the nation. So we try to do our best to honor that at Apothecary Herbs. They can give us a call at 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. Visit our website at thepowerherbs.com. And also, Memorial Day special, 20% off orders of $50 or more.
Hi, Wendy. Thanks very much. That's Wendy Wilson from thepowerherbs.com, 866-229-3663. Melody and I will be right back on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom, and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit csetalkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. All your gold and silver coin needs. What's next, Melody?
You know, I heard from a client today, and he listens to the program, and, you know, he says we're pretty spot on and so forth. He says, but you never make any recommendations on what to do. And it's like, we don't. We talk about gold and silver all the time. He calls back. He emailed me back. He says, well, I guess you do. And I says, but sometimes we don't perhaps spend enough time on the actual product and what you should do and how you should divide up and why you want a particular product over another and what to stay away from. And so today we're going to, you know, I will start paying a little more attention to that and try to bring a little more gold and silver education to the program. Today we have, I have a small package, a 25 face value, 90% silver. These are quarters. The cost is $340, and that includes your registered and insured shipping costs. So it's a great package. The premiums on the 90% silver are coming down. The silver is based below about a less than a dollar over spot. You're paying about 75 cents over spot. So it really is a good time to be buying some 90% silver quarters. So we have $25 face value at $340. What's really nice about the 90% silver, and when it's available and the premiums are low, you should pick some up, is because it is very cost effective. Even your silver rounds are sold for more than what you can buy 90% silver for. So it is very cost effective. Plus, in extreme emergencies, it's still spendable. If and when our currencies stop trading, our dollar stops trading, or is accepted, you can still take the stuff and spend it at the face of value. You don't want to do that, but you know, in an extreme emergency, that's how you have to think. Even when they had the oil embargoes back in the 70s, I can remember going to the gas station in Arizona, waiting in line. You have lots to look at and read and so forth, and there was a sign, if you paid with the 90% silver coins dated prior to 1964, you received a discount. So there's ways that it works itself into the local commerce when bad things happen. So that's why it's important to use 90% silver. And again, it's cost effective, it's still spendable, and it's very recognizable. Everybody knows what quarters are. And I will differ with many who say, well, you know, they use credit cards and debit cards and nobody carries change anymore. People still remember when coinage, even the young people still know when coinage was made out of silver. You know, the older quarters, dimes, and 50-cent pieces. So it is very important to own. We have small bags, $340. The face value is $25. So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And the 90% silver, when things get hot, it's one of the first things that disappear off the shelves because, you know, it comes from that secondary market. It comes from someone that sells it into the market. And when prices rise and demand picks up, people don't sell. So it comes off the shelf and it disappears. This is why when we talk about with gold, when things get hot, people don't sell. They hold because they think the price is going higher, so they want to get that higher price. So great time to be buying 90% silver.
Okay. What's next, Melody? Do you have something or you want me to take?
I really didn't have. There was a couple of things that were going on today, as I mentioned, the meeting from the feds. It looks like they're going to take another rate hike in June. But you know, it's interesting. You know, if they take a rate hike in June, another quarter point, it'll be a whole year and a half time frame that I took to raise it a full point. You know, because they've done a quarter, a quarter, a quarter, a quarter, a year and a half. So if we look a year and a half into the future, you know, it's going to take another a year and a half to raise it another percent. So, you know, when you put things into perspective, it really doesn't, you know, what does it all mean? And again, I don't think they can do much more than what they're already doing. So they take a June. I doubt if they take one in June, they're not going to take one at the end of the year, because I think things are just going to be so hectic by then that there's no way they'll be able to take it. And I don't believe the GDP is going to rise much higher than what it is. I don't believe our economy is, you know, burning up things. I don't believe we have a hot economy. And to slow it down, what's to slow down? So even with the budget, I know we were going to talk a little bit about the budget, and it's just like, well, the budget is based on a 3% plus GDP. It's like, well, and it takes 10 years to balance it. Well, what, you think we're going to have a great economy for the next 10 years without any bumps or with the amount of debt that we're carrying? I mean, it's just not realistic to get all excited. And I don't understand. You have all these Democrats out there that are screaming about it. You know, oh, you don't want to take away the benefits. Oh, you don't want to do that. Oh, you don't want to do that. Well, you know what? I don't know why they just don't let it pass, because it's not going to work. You know,
I don't know how much of anything is going to work. I looked at the Baltic Dry Index just lately. And last Wednesday, the Baltic Dry Index, which is a measure of shipping, how much cargo is being shipped on a global basis, and the Baltic Dry Index decreased by 20 points last week, reaching 960 points. Now, you might not be following the Baltic Dry Index, and you might not know what that means exactly, but if you compare it to May 20th of 2008, the index peaked at nearly 12,000 points, and now it's at less than 1,000 points. It's 1/12. It's about 8% of what it was in 2008. And that means that the total amount of cargo that's being moved globally implies that the total amount of cargo is perhaps 8% of what it was just before we went into the Great Recession. And it's evidence that the economy, the global economy, is nothing to brag about. It's just limping along. And you look at that and you say, how long can we maintain the illusion that everything's running well and that everything's getting stronger? And it's getting a little bit stronger.
A little bit.
You know, there's been a little bit of a bounce off the bottom. I get that. But just the same, we are nowhere close to where we were. And it may be that it was an irrational peak in 2008, when it was almost 12,000, when it was almost 12,000 points on the Baltic Dry Index, but just the same, right now it's about 8% of what it was at that peak. That's a 92% decline over the course of the last. And it didn't happen. It's not as if it's been steadily declining up until now. It declined dramatically after we got into the Great Recession, and now it's been limping along, bouncing on the bottom. But still, to me this is one of the better indexes that gives you a clue of what the truth of the matter is. And if they're singing Happy Days Are Here Again, they need a new pitch bike, because that's not the truth of the matter.
And when you see numbers with that type of a change, that type of a drop, even if the numbers are skewed a little bit or don't have direct impact on what could be happening, that's a lot. That's a big spread. It's still a huge big drop. And it still shows that no matter, even if you adjust these either way on either side, for whatever reason, it's still a huge spread between what we have today and what we had back in 2008. So again, it's another sign of things. And look back to 2008. Yeah. Yeah. Look, it was booming because of debt. You know, it was all based on the homes, and yeah, home prices are rising a little bit and so forth in certain areas, but not everywhere. There's a lot of people. And think back then, too, people had full-time jobs.
Yeah.
People don't have full-time jobs today.
Mm-hmm.
They have part-time jobs, and you can thank Obamacare. You can thank the Affordable Care Act for a lot of that, for not having full-time jobs, because these corporations didn't want to pay for your benefits. So they just, we'll just cut hours. Obama would come back in and say, well, you know, we're going to reduce it then. The corporations would be, all right, we're really going to cut your hours because we don't want to have to pay you benefits.
And what else came out of that? We wound up employing more people, or at least having more jobs, because people had to take two part-time jobs rather than one full-time job. And the result was, one of the results was, the government says, hooray, we have created more jobs for you, the little people. No, they haven't. They've created more poverty for the little people and pushed them into situations where they have to take second jobs. They can't make it on one job, in part because they no longer get 40 hours. They have a maximum of 30 hours. There's an article you talk about. We talked about this yesterday to some degree. There was a news article that implicitly blamed Trump, and said the headline, this was from International Business Times, the headline was, Trump arrives in Israel and they have some sort of an accident out in the city. A vehicle drives into a crowd. No, we talked about it then. Here's another one in the same line. And the idea is, there's no correlation between Trump landing in Tel Aviv and somebody having an accident out in the city. But they try to make this sound as if Trump is doing terrible things. Here's one from Bloomberg. Trump blamed for job losses as India tech workers face cuts. What? Well, Trump is having an effect. I get that. This is not entirely irrational, but just the same, people in India are blaming Trump for job losses in India. It seems to me that India should be looking to its own affairs and trying to figure out how to run its own economy and not depending on outside sources to give them jobs. But at least, whatever is going on here, it just struck me, this is another instance of Trump is being blamed for things, whether he has anything to do with them or not. And I would imagine the man has to be tired of it. Got to be wearing on him, but
I doubt that. But you know, but the point is, a lot of people who on the, you know, the Democrats and everybody else thinks, oh no, it's bad. Well, you know what? People need to quit pointing fingers and just take a look at yourself. Look at all these Democrats. You know, Trump did this. Take a look at what you've done. What have you done lately, folks?
Well, help to trash the country. You know? Help to trash the economy.
Good grief.
Promising to give more freebies to everybody, more and more people.
It truly is insanity out there. You know, we talked about this morning when I was on a different program. You know, Mitch McConnell said today that he has yet to hit upon a formula for repealing Obamacare and replacing it with a new health care program. Just repeal the dang thing. Why do you have to replace it?
Yeah, and let the free market figure it out.
Let force the free market to take over. Just repeal the dang thing.
Yep, that's exactly right. The free market would figure it out.
You know, how hard can it be?
That's exactly why we have this problem, because government, in its infinite wisdom, has decided that it will provide health care. And it doesn't have a clue how to do it.
And you
it
know
can't
what?
Do it. It will screw it up every single time it tries. All right? And they insist they get to control health care. And if we really wanted good health care in this country, first thing you do, get government out of health care and let the free market solve the problem.
You know, and I've been asked by someone that has benefited from Obamacare. And I was asked directly, well, you don't want me to have insurance? Yes, I want you to have insurance, but I want you to be able to, but I want the rates low enough so you can pay for it. And the look you get is like, and I know they're struggling. I know these people struggle. But you know what? It all comes back to everything else. It all comes back to the almighty dollar. It all comes back to the fiat currency. It all comes back because as long as we have a fiat currency, costs are going to continue to rise, period.
And savings are going to continue to be wiped out.
That is why every day that you hold on to those dollars, you lose. You lose. And that's why you convert those dollars into something that benefits and holds your value over this period of time. You know, if you come to me one day and say, oh, gold dropped $3, it didn't hold my value. You know what? You shouldn't be owning gold. You're buying it for the wrong reasons. You buy it to preserve your purchasing power. And as long as we have that fiat dollar, as long as we have that fiat dollar, it will protect you. And that's why you get rid of that fake money and get real money. And, you know, and if we had a gold-backed currency, prices would be consistent. And everything would fall into balance. It would all balance out. So you could plan for your retirement. You could plan for future trips. You could plan for your life. But you can't plan anymore because, you know, you get these things that all of a sudden that one time was $10, all of a sudden is $1,000. And that's because of the fiat currency. And I didn't mean to get off on that. But, you know, when repeal Obamacare. Then he goes on to say about the taxes. Oh, well, he expressed some optimism on another top priority, overhauling the tax code.
You can't overhaul that
unless you repeal the Obamacare. So if you can't repeal the Obamacare, how can you fix the tax code? They need that money from Obamacare to pay for the tax code or the tax changes. I mean, even the budget, Al, even the budget shows that you have to fix Obamacare in order to make the budget work. So
they're
going
to blame Trump in part or to a significant degree for trying to maybe deal with what is the truth. Yeah, although it's an unpleasant truth, it may be that Trump is trying to say, look, here's what we got to do. And the left is saying, we can't do that. We can't. We've promised to give free lunches to everybody. And that means somebody's got to come up with the money. We've got to borrow the money. We've got to do whatever we have to do to continue to provide services that we really can't afford. And there's a real problem with this. There's a point, as things are structured at the moment, you can't afford the kind of services the government wants to provide. We're going to take a break for a couple of commercials. Melody and I will be back in a moment. Please stay tuned to Financial Survival.
Oh, won't you tell me again?
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival, and Melody and I were just talking about why Barnum and Bailey went out of business, and they were simply they succumbed, they were outcompeted by the government. Government's running a bigger and more entertaining circus than Barnum and Bailey ever could, and therefore we lost Barnum and Bailey. What's the next, Molly?
Well, you know, I mean, it is frustrating when you see all the commentary, and you know things can't change. I heard someone, I think it was Rush today, I was listening to, they're talking, oh well, you know, we need to get some work in this country, and how about repatriating some of that money back into this country? Really, they've done it before. Is it the first time? And what happens to it? These multinational corporations buy back their own shares. Now they're so far in debt because they've been borrowing, because it's been so cheap to borrow. Keep their money over there, borrow here, buy back your shares, keep your stocks up. They repatriate that money back here. They're just going to pay off their debt or buy more shares. Maybe increase the dividends so people keep buying their stocks. So, I mean, that repatriating that money back isn't going to help. Maybe it'll help a little, but not to the degree that everyone expects. I mean, come on. Do you really believe these multinational corporations are going to spend their money so you can work? I doubt it. Not when they build factories and plants and you know, with the technology moving along as fast as it is. You know, you'll get to program a robot. Can you do that? I don't think too many people can. Oh, well, we'll retrain everybody. And what's that going to cost? So, I mean, I try to be optimistic, Al. I really do, but it's just like
reality merely makes it difficult, and that's one of the things that cracks me up is they talk about the budget, and they will balance the budget in 10 years.
Here's
our plan. We're going to balance it in 10 years. You know what that means? They are guaranteeing that it will not be balanced for the first 9. Right? We're going to, the next 9 years, it will not be balanced. That isn't going to happen. They're planning to balance it 10 years from now. If we don't balance the budget during the next 9 years, what do you think the chances are that it will be balanced in the 10th? I think they're telling us, look, we're not going to balance the budget. I don't think they can balance the budget. I think they know that, and they are caught in this. This isn't just a situation where people are inept, incompetent, self-serving, right?
Yeah,
government's not spending that money. I think they have to go into debt. Have to go into debt, and I think it has something to do with the debt-based monetary system that compels them. They can't walk away from the debt. They have to go deeper and deeper and deeper, and it sounds like an irrational concept, and yet that's exactly what's been happening. Reality conforms to that notion, although it might not be. Maybe it's not a cause and effect situation, but I think it is.
You know, they've been doing it for 30, 40 years.
Well, we've had a debt-based monetary system for 30, 40 years.
Every time we've gone into a recession, how have we come out?
Deeply indebted.
By creating new Wall Street programs, by creating debt and everything. So, you know, you keep it going, and, you know, finally that little bunny rabbit with the battery, eventually that battery does die. It doesn't just keep going and going and going. One day it does stop. But, you know, and again, they keep raising rates over a 10-year period. Well, guess what? It's going to take more money to service that debt. I bet they're not figuring that into the little equation.
Well, they're figuring, but...
No, they're not figuring.
You know,
they're not
is,
figuring.
We are headed in...
Using today's rates in order to figure out the money to service the debt. But if those rates go higher, they're not going to be able to service the debt. You know, there's...
And that'll be the last thing to go. They can't pay the debt right now. Right? They can't pay the debt. It's too big to be repaid. They can pay some of it, but they can't pay most of it, and they can only pay a relatively small percentage. But the majority, it can't be paid under any circumstances, but they can maintain the illusion that the debt is still valid, that the debt instruments are still performing as long as we can continue to pay the interest on the debt. They can maintain the illusion that the debt is payable. But the truth is, it's too big to be repaid right now, and they want to go in deeper and deeper and deeper.
And
we are coming to a moment, and it can't be avoided. I am unable to see any way this can be avoided where we're going to have to admit the debt can't be paid. And when that happens, the terrible problem is that one man's debt is another man's asset. When we cancel, for example, they claim the national debt is $20 trillion. That's all memorialized by U.S. bonds. If they could walk in the door and say, well, we're going to just cancel the debt. How about that? All right, great. Cancel the debt. Sounds good. Except for the fact that it's all memorialized with $20 trillion in bonds that are being held in people's pension funds and their bank vaults and their safety deposit boxes and people around the world. They can't cancel the debt without wiping out the correlative debt paper debt instruments. And once they do that, how does the system function without the $20 trillion in bonds? They've wiped out collateral, our paper collateral. We are caught where we can't cancel the debt. We can't pay the debt. What are we going to do with the debt? One way or another, this thing is going to bite us all. We are going to be badly injured by this, and it's part of the fundamental idea we talk about on this program on a regular basis. You must act to protect yourself against, if you've got your wealth stored in these paper debt instruments, you are in a situation where sooner or later those paper debt instruments are going to turn out to be substantially worthless. And if you're still holding them at that time, you are going to lose most of your assets. And from our perspective, the solution to the problem is dump as much of your paper debt instruments as you can and put the resulting currency into tangible wealth. All right, which includes, I don't know, land and guns and tools and gold and silver. But you're going to have the paper debt instruments are not going to last. I don't know when they're going to go down, but they're going to go down. They have to go down.
When you say land and so forth, I mean, and it all has to be suitable for you. Going out there buying a bunch of land at these prices is really not the best thing to do. It's not liquid. It's not liquid.
Tangible,
you know, but you shouldn't. Well, you know, we're not giving advice or opinions that you should run out and buy all kinds of properties, you know, because prices will come down. That's what you're holding your gold for. So if these properties come available, then you can trade your gold for these
properties.
Well,
I mean, land is not liquid.
You know,
in the sense
if
you
buy land,
you
live on it. You live it and you work it. If you can live it and work it, that's great. But you have to live it, on it, and work it. You know, if you have a little farm community and so forth. But
any tangible wealth.
I get that, Al, but I'm trying to
read the paper.
I get that, Al, but I'm just trying to explain. You know the difference when you're going out and you're looking for a place to put your money. Mm-hmm. You know, so you have to make it, you know, you can't forget your food, you can't forget your water supply. I mean, these are all little things that you have to plan for. But what we're talking about is your hard-earned money, your savings. That's what you need to protect. How are you going to protect that?
Well, the best way to do it, if you want something that will be liquid in the event of a serious problem, meaning that you
are spendable. Is gold and silver. There was something we were talking about debt, and you know we've talked about this before about the subprime automobiles, the subprime auto loan and loans in the auto loan industry, and that is just a massive debt bubble. Much of the subprime mortgage lending was the riskiest part of the housing bubble from 2003 to 2008. Now we're kind of seeing the same thing, almost to the degree as that. Santander Consumer USA Holdings, they're one of the biggest subprime auto finance companies, verified income on just 8% of the borrowers, whose loans it recently bundled into $1 billion of bonds. And this is according to Moody's Investor Service. Mm-hmm. The low level of due diligence on applicants compares with 64% for loans in a recent securitization sold by General Motors. The lack of checks may be, again, one of the factors explaining the higher loan losses that they're beginning to experience in these past couple of years. Santander only verified income on just 8% of auto loans. If you put it another way, one more than 9 out of every 10 auto loans. I mean, they didn't even check to see if the person had a job. Here's your $30,000 automobile. We don't care if you work or not. You know. Oh, you got food. Anyway, it really is crazy.
But it's consistent with my notion that they must go deeper into debt. The debt is not something we merely can do. It's something we must do in order to sustain a debt-based monetary system. I think debt is, again, not an option. Oh, well, we could go into more debt. Why don't we try that? No, I think we have to go into more debt. I think people at the top understand that, and I think it's the reason why they promise we're going to have the balanced budget in 10 years. We could balance the budget now if we wanted to. Why not? Just say, that's it. We're not going to spend a nickel more than we have. I think the reason is they have to have more debt. This system
government
requires
is going
it.
To print money until they come home. But when you're looking at the economy, when it's 70% of consumer spending, people don't have the money. They have to go into debt. There's no money. They can't. They don't have the jobs. They don't have the money. Their wages aren't rising. And this is a $1 trillion debt bubble that has fallen into the auto subprime lending. So, you know, it's if it crashes tomorrow, what would happen? Well, you know, just another sign, folks, that we're getting close.
Yeah, we keep on sneaking up on this and sneaking up on it, and you can only wonder how long this is going to be. How long can you hold this together? Again, it's like the Baltic Dry Index. It's 8% of what it was in 2012. Or, excuse me, in 2008. 8%. That is evidence. It's not just an interesting statistic. It's evidence that, in fact, the global economy, at least compared to 2008, is in a depression right now. You can't just sit back and say, oh, business is off by 92%, but it's still strong. No, it's not. We're in something like a global depression right now, and they want to keep telling us, no, everything's fine. Happy days, blah, 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 raising the interest rate 0.25% every 6 months or so.
Yeah. One point a year and a half. The
economy is just so
strong.
It's
booming.
No, it's not. This whole thing is in jeopardy. And when you look at that, it's not just a question of doom and gloom. It's a question of, okay, take precautions. Look and see. I mean, any of you listening to the program, you can go out and look up the Baltic Dry Index. You'll find out. You'll see, it's, you know, if you think, well, it can't be true. Yeah, it is true. You have to do a little searching, but not much. You can find it on the internet. Baltic Dry Index, see that it was close to 12,000 points in 2008. Now it's down in less than 1,000. It's lost. It's lost about 92%. You can't just look at that and say things are running well. There is calamity. I mean, and it's when I say calamity, you know, it's easy to come up with words that are excessive, hyperbolic and whatever, but calamity. I think we're going to see millions of people die. How much worse does it have to get before people start starving to death in mass numbers? How much worse? And I'm not talking about here in the United States. I'm talking, although we may see some semblance of this, something like that in this country. But what about in China? What about in India? What about in Africa? We're looking at the problem in Venezuela right now. People are going to die. This is not a game. This is not something. And the point is, what's the lesson? Well, it's going to probably be a global problem. It will be least severe here in the United States, but it's still going to be severe. So what do you do? protect yourself. Prepare. Be prudent. Look at it. Here's the evidence. This thing can't hold together. It's just inconceivable that you can really look at what's happening in the global and domestic economy, look at it, and sit back and say, oh, this is all going to work out. I don't think it will. At least not until after we have had a very serious decline, and maybe a catastrophic decline. And then we start rebuilding from the bottom. We all go down, we all go bankrupt, and except for the people who have preserved their savings, everybody else is going to go bankrupt, and people who don't even know how to work are going to have to get jobs, and they're going to be glad to get it because it'll be the alternative. If you have a job, perhaps you won't starve to death. And then we start rebuilding this country, we start rebuilding its economy, and we start rebuilding people's character. People are going to learn the hard way that we can't simply spin this easy money out of thin air. We've been doing it for 30, 40 years, but it has to come to an end. We can't continue to provide free lunches to people who don't have jobs. People are going to have to find jobs. And well, either that, or defense, they have to find savings.
You know, in defense of,
need some savings.
The government went on a little bit of a guilt trip. That's why they created the programs, the subsidies, and so forth, because they knew the jobs were going to be. You know, if you go back to, when they really started after they confiscated gold and coming out of the recession, where all these programs were created and so forth. You know, they didn't do it to help people. They did it to keep you tied and as a slave.
Maybe it's hard to know how long they've been working on the New World Order. All right,
well,
but it didn't start
it
just in the last couple of years. This has been going for a while. We are being manipulated into something that is dangerous and contrary to our best interests. We got to break off now. We're out of time. I want to thank all of you for listening. Melody and I will be back tomorrow. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank the producer, or Ty the producer. Bye bye.
Pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.